You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Matthew 4. I'm going to just pick up where we left off Sunday morning. We started teaching Sunday morning on the in a general way, the ministry of Jesus. I just, you know, titles. You know, if you go down and break it down, you got general titles, subtitles, and so on and so forth. Really, what I wanted to bring out in Jesus' ministry specifically was the fact that he was also a healer, not just a teacher, not just a preacher. I think we think of Jesus in terms of just eternal life, just as our Savior. He is that. But he's more than just a Savior. He's a healer. He's a redeemer. He's a life giver. He's a peace giver. I mean, goodness, he's our rock, our fortress, our shield, our exceeding great reward. Endless the things that Jesus is. Amen? And so when you say, I believe in Jesus, you have to qualify that. What do you believe about Jesus? Because that's paramount. That's so important. When I say, I believe in Jesus, what is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Well, thank God the Bible defines him for us. And when you look into the Word of God, you find out that he is an all-service Jesus. He really meets all our needs, totally, spirit, soul, body. He is the need meter. He is supply. He's what you're looking for, and I've been looking for all my life. He is all that we'll ever need the rest of our life. Hallelujah. In Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Hallelujah. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So Jesus is everything. Who is he? Well, he's everything. Hallelujah. And he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So as you look into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which thank God we have four accounts here. My goodness. Thank God. I mean, one would have been enough. But the Holy Spirit moved on Matthew. He moved on Mark. He moved on Luke. He moved on John. And we have four accounts, some of them very similar, some of them different perspectives. Some of the stories are similar and repeated. Some stories are unique to each book. But you put it all together and you get a clearer picture, clearer picture, and a clearer picture. It'd be like four witnesses telling you about an event. You know that no one person is going to give you everything or repeat everything or remember everything. But you take four accounts, now you get little bits and pieces from some that you didn't get from others. Everybody looks with a different perspective, different pair of glasses, looks for different things. Hello. You take a builder, he walks in the building, he starts looking at the building. Starts counting up how. I'm kind of that way. I walk in a building, I want to know how long it is, how wide it is, how high it is. Then I'll start counting tiles in buildings. I don't know, I need to get delivered. But I'm just conscious of that. I'm conscious of buildings, you know, and how they're built and how high. And I just think that way. Well, you know, most people go in. A lot of people go in and never even think about it. Hello. How wide was that building? I don't know. It's pretty big. Never really couldn't even take a guess at it, you know. But that's just a different perspective. They saw things I didn't see. Brent and I can go in. She can tell me what somebody wore. I can't. Anyway. Hello. Some things are more important than others. Okay. Matthew 4. Have you found it?
Yes,
talk about the ministry of Jesus. He didn't just teach. He didn't just preach. The Bible tells us he also healed. And so healing should be a part of the gospel, a part of church, a part of church services. I know tonight, you know, we always give an invitation for healing and we ask for prayer requests. Very unusual we don't ever have one. I mean, because that's just part of what we do. We're church. We pray for the sick. Are you with me? And as a Christian, that's what you should do too. You should pray for the sick. You should witness and share your faith with people and tell people about Jesus' love and his forgiveness. And also, you ought to pray for the sick. Because that's what Jesus did. How many of you want to be like Jesus?
Amen.
And of course, you know, without getting way ahead of myself here, you know as well as I do, Jesus didn't just do that by himself. He sent the disciples out to do the same thing. And then he commissioned the church to do the same thing. So that was just part of the gospel. Part of the good news. Hallelujah. He took care of needs. That's really why he came. Jesus came to meet needs. He did not come to create needs in your life. He came to meet needs in your life. That's what we're about. The church is about. And that's what Christians should be about. We should be about helping people get their needs met. Amen? Through prayer, through faith, confession, and so on and so forth. And that's part of our ministry. That was Jesus' ministry. And here in Matthew 4, notice what it says in the 23rd verse. Matthew 4, 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." It goes on, says 24th verse, "Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." Now, you know, I mentioned this Sunday. It says here, the 24th verse, "His fame went out," or the report of him went out, "and they brought to him sick people who were afflicted with various diseases," and so on and so forth. Well, they heard of Jesus, and when they heard of Jesus and what they heard of Jesus caused them to bring sick people to be healed. Now, why would they bring sick people to be healed when they heard of Jesus? Because they heard about a Jesus that healed the sick. This is deep. Why did they bring the sick? And when did they bring the sick? When they heard about Jesus. You say, okay, I get it, Pastor. What's the point? Well, this Jesus we preach, this Jesus who has saved our soul, this Jesus who has shed his blood and paid the price for our sin, this Jesus that we talk about and preach about and share with others, we would be remiss if we did not say that he is a healing Jesus. Because when the report of him went out in the Bible, the report was that he was a healer, and they brought the sick to be healed when they heard about Jesus, the healer. Woo! I'm getting happy. I don't know about y'all. So what's the report we give about Jesus? What Jesus do we preach? Hello? What is he famous for in your life? What is he known for when you tell about him? People have heard you talk about him. What do they hear from you? Ooh, hallelujah. Okay. Look over at 9th chapter, Matthew. Slightly repetitive here. And I believe that things are repeated, so we get them. I think things are repeated that are important. I believe God repeats certain things because he doesn't want us to miss them. Hello? I know when you go to school, you go over and over certain things that are very, very important, very basic truths, whether it's math or, you know, whether it's English, history, whatever. You go over and over and over things until it's just second nature with you. And the reason being because they're important and the teacher doesn't want you to forget them. So when you go through the scripture, when you see things that are just repeated over and over, man, you ought to listen up. Amen. Pay attention. This must be important. He keeps telling me this. Everywhere I turn, I see this. In the 9th chapter of Matthew, notice what it says in the 35th verse. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." I thought we just read that. We did. We read it over in the 4th chapter, 23rd verse. But he says the very same thing in Matthew 9, verse 35. Why did he say that again? Short-term memory loss? Matthew's getting old? No, he just didn't want us to miss this. He wants to see a pattern here. He wants to see this is what Jesus did. You know, churches ought to be a place where you can be taught the Word of God. Ought to be a place where you can get preached to, as it were. Preaching, I believe, stirs us. I believe it's more exhortation, as it were, more declaration or proclaiming something. Teaching is more explaining or expounding something. I think you can have a little both, too. I think some sermons can be a little teach-preach. Now, I always have a teach on me. Sometimes I get a preach on me. But even when I get a preach on me, I still got the teach. Woo, hallelujah. I like to preach, teach. I like to stir and encourage and set a fire under you, as it were. Yeah, do it with the Word. Do it, you know, you don't want to just get fired up and have nowhere to go, you know. The Word gives you direction. It tells you what to do with that fire. You don't want a water hose with no end on it. That's kind of the way it is sometimes in Pentecostal churches. If we're not careful, we'll just have a lot of fire and a lot of motion, hollering and shouting and screaming, and I'm all for hollering, shouting, and screaming. But when the dust settles, what did you learn? You need to pick up something. Let's face it, the main job of the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues, although although speaking in tongues is for everybody. I believe everybody's baptized, the Holy Ghost speaks with other tongues. I believe every Christian, every believer has this opportunity. You do not have to speak in tongues to be saved, but if you are saved, there is an experience called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, they all spoke with tongues. I understand that. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. But I don't think that's the main job of the Holy Ghost. The main job of the Holy Ghost is to teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. He's the revelator. Now, granted, there's a lot of noise going on when the Holy Ghost is there, but he's really trying to lead us and guide us and direct us. It's kind of like a steam engine, you know, on a train. The main point of the steam engine is not to blow the horn, to get the train down the tracks. Hello. And they're blowing the horn as they're going down the tracks, and that's good. Woohoo! Are you with me? We're talking about a balance. That's all we're talking about. You don't want to get one side or the other. I love that old saying I picked up years ago, you know, talking about just teaching without any experiential knowledge, without any experience. If all you do is just have word, teach, and yet there's no miracles, no signs, no wonders, no anointing, no presence coming down, just teach. All you have is a word, you'll dry up. But if you have no teaching, you have no word, and all you have is just emotion, everybody just hollering and screaming, yet there is no teaching, there's no direction, nobody's telling you what to do or how to live or what to believe or how to pray, are you with me? What to say, how to have a marriage. If you're not teaching, you'll have a lot of emotion, you'll have the Holy Ghost, as it were, but you'll just blow up. So you can dry up, you can blow up, or you can put them together, and you can grow up. We need both. We need the direction of the Word. We need the dynamic of the Spirit. Are you with me? Amen. And too many times it's an either-or thing in churches. It shouldn't be either-or. It ought to be both. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I need direction, and I need the dynamic of the Spirit. In fact, Jesus, this tied us in, Jesus taught, He preached, and He healed. So there wasn't just ideals and concepts. There was a practical application. There was experience. See, the end of all knowledge really is action. And the end of church is not for you to learn a doctrine. The end of church is to get you to Jesus, get you in His presence, to get you to experience in Him in your life and in your marriage, as a witness, in a ministry, on your job, whatever the case may be, through your prayers, through your faith, to change the world you live in. The end of doctrine is action. And if we stop with just the concept, with just the doctrine, all we got's a teaching, all we got's a doctrine. Doctrine's good, but it has an end, it has a purpose. And Jesus came for a purpose. And His purpose was to meet needs. I would think that'd be our purpose too, wouldn't you? To meet needs. There's a suffering, sighing, dying world out here that needs Jesus, that needs healing, they need salvation, they need forgiveness, they need restoration. They know they account, they're important, they can make it. Whatever they've done, God can forgive them. They can start their life afresh and anew. We're against sin, but we love the sinner. There's hope for the hopeless. Amen? Help for the helpless. So it says here, 35th verse, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary, scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. It's interesting what He prayed there. He went on and said this. He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers into His harvest. Amen. See, the world is a harvest, is what it is, waiting for laborers to go harvest them. A harvest of souls, a harvest of people that need to be healed, marriages need to be put back together, and so on and so forth. And this is what Jesus did. This is what we do. God's real, active, alive, living, moving in the world today. Whatever Jesus was, He still is. Look at Luke the fifth chapter. Woohoo! Luke 5. Man alive, Luke 5. Notice what it says here in the 15th verse. However, the report went around concerning Him, all the more the report. Everybody say the report?
The report.
Okay. The report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. The report went around concerning him. Y'all getting it? What did they hear about Jesus? Good question. They must have heard that he was a healer, because they came to hear and to be healed. What is the report they hear from us? Good question. Amen. When they come, when we invite them and they come because we invite them, what do they come for? What does the report compel them to do? It should compel them to come and hear and to be healed. Church is a place of healing. It should be a place of deliverance. It should be a place where you know people are going to pray for you, lay hands on you if you're sick, if that's the case. You're going to hear something from God that's going to change your life. It's a place to come to hear and to be healed. But the only way it'll ever become that is if the report we give of Jesus is, are you listening? That Jesus is a healer. You know, it's real basic when you think about it. God consistently does in your life what you believe and trust Him to do. Now, there are random things that happen. God's a merciful God. I understand that. But what God consistently does in your life is what you believe Him to do. What He does over and over, repetitively, consistently, what's established in your life is what you're trusting Him and believing Him to do. That makes sense? Okay. Two of you think so, and the rest of you think about it. Now, since that is the case, and we know that's the case because the Bible says that over and over, do you believe I'm able to do this? Jesus asked the blind man. And they said, Yea, Lord. And He said, well, according to your faith, so be it unto you. We know that. He said that. So He needed them to believe. Isn't that right? And Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So we know you must believe when you pray or you won't have what you pray for. Matthew 21:22 says, all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Jesus said that also. So we know believing is paramount. 13th chapter of Matthew, this is interesting. I think it's 58th verse. He said, it says here about Jesus, He went into His hometown, prayed for a few sick folk and healed them, marveled at their unbelief. But then it says He could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Wow. So we know we have to believe in order for God to move consistently, because that's what the Bible says. Jesus required it. He asked it of us. He required it of us when we prayed. He couldn't do anything because of their unbelief. Matthew 13. So if that be the case, since that is the case, not if, since, we know it's the case, then how does faith come? Now, this is faith 101. You know this. Faith comes by hearing. Hear by the word. So if you don't hear the right thing, you can't believe the right thing. It's impossible to believe the right thing if you hadn't heard the right thing. We often wonder why in so many churches there's no more miracles, no more healings. Well, it's no mystery. They're not hearing it. The report they're hearing about Jesus is not a healing Jesus. He's a saving Jesus. Thank God they're saved. Thank God they're going to heaven. Thank God they're forgiven. Thank God they're born again. We thank God for churches. We're not opposed to any church that preaches Jesus. Are you with me? All I'm saying is, He is more than just a forgiver of sins. He is more than just someone who saves us in the sense of taking us to heaven. The Bible Jesus was a Jesus that healed, and the report of Him when it was given in the Bible caused people to come to hear Him and to be healed. Now, you can't have faith for healing if you don't hear about healing. That's just impossible to do. I mean, you can't. How can you believe for something you have not heard? Romans 10, turn there. Y'all catching this? It's just a fact. I mean, I've said this over and over, and you know this to be a fact. You're in this church. We get on a subject, and whatever subject we're on, we'll see results of that subject while we're teaching that subject. Why is that? Because we're teaching on it, and people's faith is being built in that area, and we get results in that area because that's the report we're hearing. Hallelujah. I mean, really, I can teach on tithes, and, well, people start tithing. That's a big temptation as a preacher. I have to watch that. I have to make sure that I'm listening to the Holy Ghost and not just trying to manipulate people. I don't want to manipulate anybody. I want to hear the Holy Ghost. I don't want to just have a scheme or a scam. I'm not scamming you. Are you with me? I'm your preacher. I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to love you and hear God for you. I mean, I hear of a problem going on. You know, the temptation is, well, bless God, I'm going to get in the pulpit. I'm going to preach on that. Well, no, listen. I need to hear the Holy Ghost, not you sinning or me sinning. I need to preach on that. Well, who's picking my sermons out? The devil could just manipulate me all year long. The devil will have a whole agenda of stuff I need to preach on if I'm going to preach on what's going on in the church. Oh, that's going on in the church. Preacher, you need to preach on this. Well, I better hear God and preach on what God's telling me to preach on. And anyway, you'll hear it better if God, in God's timing, than it would be. See, I'm not God and you're not God, so we have to listen to the Holy Ghost. And I found over and over, if I ever get off in the flesh like that and try to minister on something that I think needs to be straightened out, it never works anyway. People just get mad and leave. But if I leave it alone, pray, I'll address it personally with people, but not publicly, unless the Spirit of God gets me on it. If I leave it alone and pray and just minister by the Holy Ghost, God will minister to people by the Spirit of God, and nobody gets mad, and people repent, and you know they're restored, and we just go right on through it. See, the thing is, just don't get rattled. Just chill out, okay? Chill out. Just trust God. Now, Romans 10. Notice what it says here in Romans 10th chapter. In the 13th verse, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We all know that. 14th verse. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Thank God I've got a reason for being here. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Not everybody believes it. But this thing is for certain. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you got to hear it to believe it. Amen? Now, a church that has a lot of miracles, I'm going to tell you something. They preach on it. Church has a lot of healings, they preach on it. You know, a church that that prospers, they preach on it and minister on it. Church that has a lot of missions, they talk about missions all the time. You get what you preach on because what you preach on encourages faith and stirs faith in people and fires faith in people. When people start believing, hallelujah, somebody, things start happening. God starts moving. That's why Jesus taught and preached and healed. I like that. It's interesting because his teaching encouraged their faith, then they would get healed. He stirred them with the word, and they responded with faith, and then the miracles happened. In fact, the word will always bring the miraculous when it's taught right. It'll always bring it when it's taught right and received right. There's two things. You've got to teach it right, you've got to receive it right. The attitude you come with determines what you leave with. So if you come as they did, what did Jesus do? He came to teach and to heal. What did they do? They came to hear and to be healed. So it was kind of a two-way street, but it was not a spectator sport. It was a participant. Everybody's involved. I started to say participatory. I don't know. Okay, anyway. Church should be not a spectator sport. Church should be somewhere we're all involved in the process. Listen, I pray about these services. I study and I seek God about them. And you know what? You ought to come hungry. Come in to get something. Hallelujah. You get that together, you got anointing. Anointing comes in every time when that happens. You get a crowd that's ready to hear something from heaven, ready to receive something from heaven, ready for the miraculous, ready for whatever it is that God wants to do. Hallelujah. Come expecting. And you've got a connection, man. I'm telling you, God's going to move in that environment. He's looking for that kind of environment. Amen. He's looking for that kind of habitation. That's where he dwells. That's where he lives. Woo, he moves amongst those kind of people. And I'm those kind of people. How about you? I want to be that kind of people. That's ready to hear, ready to hear. This Jesus I preach is a Jesus that meets needs. He's a Jesus that heals. He's a Jesus that delivers and sets free. Hallelujah. That's the report I give, amen? And in so doing, people hear that report, and they'll come hungry and willing to be changed. You don't want to close your eyes off, because, you know, Isaiah talks about, in fact, it was Isaiah the 6th chapter. Remember when Isaiah saw the Lord, and his train filled the temple? His train was his robe. It filled the temple. And the angels, he saw the seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." You remember that? Isaiah 6. Well, it goes on. He touched his mouth with a coal, a hot coal in his lips. He said, "Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips." And he said, "Fine, we'll take care of that." So he just stuck coal in his mouth. That's something I don't ever say to God. Just don't want a repeat of that. But anyway, after that, he told him, "I'm sending you to a people, rebellious people." And he says, "Now they're going to hear and they're going to close their ears. They're going to wax, their hearts are going to be hard and their ears are going to be dull. Lest they hear and be converted and I should heal them." Wow. That's an indictment on it. I mean, in other words, if you take it apart, they got bored. They got lackadaisical about God and about His Word. Didn't mean a whole lot. They didn't come with the right attitude. They weren't really hungry. They weren't really listening. They didn't have any expectation. You know what? They got nothing. The Word was actually preached, but they didn't get it. And they weren't healed. And they weren't even converted. So you can hear the Word and not get in you. You can if you're not listening. That's why we ought to come intent. Come listening. This is God's Word. This is life-changing stuff. This is more important than anything you'll ever hear on the news. It's more important than anything any economic forecaster will say. It's more important than the weatherman. It's more important than an election going on. This is God's Word. Hallelujah. It'll set you free. It'll get the devil off your life. It'll get sickness out of your life. It'll get poverty out of your life. It'll roll the clouds of depression back off your life. It'll cause light and peace and joy and victory and strength to come in your life. You ought to come, I mean hungry, busting the doors down to get in here. Hallelujah. It's church. Woo! I'm going to church. Hallelujah. I'm going to get something tonight that's going to change my life. I can't wait to get in church. That's the attitude we ought to have. See, you ought to be stirred up. Because we will miss out if our ears get dull. Hello? Because you've got to come to hear and to be healed. I'm going to hear something tonight. It's going to change my life. I am going to get something from the Lord. Woo! Are you with me? I can't wait to get to church. Oh, hallelujah. Because it's going to make me a better person. I'm going to hear from heaven. This world's all messed up, but I know God's bigger than this world. There's no hope in this world, but my hope is in heaven. Hallelujah. I lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Praise God. Okay. So, go back over to Luke. Notice Luke 6 chapter. So when we talk about the ministry of Jesus, well, you know, Jesus didn't minister to everybody. Everybody didn't receive from Him. So it was a two-way street, two-fold thing going on. Jesus was doing some things. And then the people that came, they added their expectancy or their faith in the mix. They had to put it in the mix, to the equation. Sometimes there's a missing factor in the equation. I think the missing factor is never God. I think it's us. Hello, our faith. It's not there. Not where it ought to be. Our expectancy's not there. God's there. Listen, I want to tell you something. You will never, ever turn God on with your faith. God is never off. You're not going to wake Him up. He never sleeps. Okay? You're not going to make Him a healer. He already is one. You're not going to make Him a Savior. He was a Savior long before you ever got saved. He is what He is. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The problem is you. And me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We gotta clean this thing up. See, it's our mess, not His. His hands are out there. We gotta reach up. In fact, the call is coming from heaven. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But you gotta come though. See, you gotta respond to the call. Many are called if you were chosen. It's your choice to come. Your choice to respond. Your choice to reach up. But faith doesn't turn God on. Faith turns us on. Faith is not a manipulator. It doesn't manipulate God. It's not a box with levers and buttons and switches. You know, we're flipping switches and moving God. No, we don't have God in the box. We're in the box. You catching this? I mean, I've heard all these cliches. You know, you faith people, you just believe in God. You're just making God do this and do that and do this. Are you kidding? God's doing that all. Faith gets me in line, gets me in position. What God does in my life is according to my faith, because I'm the one that's stopping Him. I'm the one that has His hands tied to me. Jesus died for everybody, you know that. But not everybody goes to heaven. Why is that? Because everybody doesn't call. But whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? So He's able, He's definitely able to save everybody. But He can't unless we call on Him. Luke 6 chapter, repentative. This is just over and over. You see this over and over in the Gospels. Luke 6 verse 17. And He came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of His disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear Him and be healed of their diseases. I thought we just read that. Didn't we just read that? Oh, we did. But that was the 5th chapter, 15th verse of Luke. This is the 6th chapter, 17th verse. I don't know about you. I'm starting to see a pattern here. I don't know, I'm about to get it. How about y'all? You about to get it? I'm seeing a pattern here. You ever played, when you're kids, those little cards where you flip them over and you match them? You know, what do they call that game? You know, match game. There you go. That's deep. Okay. Don't have to be a genius to be a pastor. But anyway, flip the card over. You remember what it was. You flip another one. Oh, it's just like that when you reach over and get it. You start to see patterns. See, really, learning has to do with patterns. You'll know the truth. You see things that this happened. Last time I did this, this happened. So I think I'll do that again. Maybe it'll happen again. You grow up learning that. I mean, that's how you learn. You see patterns. You see, you know, you do jump off house, hit ground. Hey, you know, maybe I ought to quit that. You know, it seemed like every time I jump off the house, I hit the ground. So stay off the house, you know. You learn patterns. That's what learning is. And so here we see patterns over and over, this same truth being said over and over. And it's not even sly. It's not even, you know, it's just blatant. It's just repeated the same thing. What did it say in Matthew 4:23? He taught in their synagogues, preached in their villages, and healed the sick, healed all that were sick. Matthew 9:35 comes along and says it a little different. It says, He taught in her synagogues and preached in her villages and healed sick. Luke 5:15 tells us they came to hear and to be healed. Luke 6:17 says a little different. It says they came to hear Him and to be healed. So if you're real sharp, you catch a little pattern there, see? They came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. 18th verse. As well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. I love that. They were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch Him, for the power went out from Him, and He healed them all. Wow, that is so, wow. Isn't that good? They sought to touch Him. If I could just get to Jesus. See, what is your picture of Jesus? That's paramount. What Jesus is this that you serve? What is this? Who is this Jesus? Is it this Jesus? Hello, is your picture of Jesus the Bible Jesus? Because I know I've talked to a lot of people and it's not really that. I mean, I know they're saved. I'm not debating that. I know that Jesus has saved them and He is their Lord in that respect. But there's a lot about Him they just don't seem to even understand or know. Their concept's not full. It's not complete. And see, that's what getting in the Word of God does for you and getting under good teaching does for us and reading and studying, going back over the Word, it begins to clear up who Jesus really is. But then, see, here's this. Once you hear that and once you find that out and you get that revelation, then you need to act on that. You got to participate in the process. We're participators, not just spectators. Amen? And when they heard, they came. And they came with a purpose. They came with a reason, for a reason. They came with a mission. They came to hear. They came to be healed. We ought to come to church to get what we need. We ought to come to church to get our miracle. We ought to come to hear from heaven and to get our needs met. And come to Jesus. I mean, not just church, but I mean come to Jesus with that intent. See, if you can just touch Him, we often wonder, oh God, I wish You'd touch me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God's wondering when you're going to touch him. He hadn't had a touch from you in a long time. Many of us, and that's the case. We often think, I wish God would touch me. And God's cry is, I wish you would touch me. Because he's got his hand stretched out as far as he can stretch it. He's waiting for you to make the connection. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5th chapter came in the press behind and touched his garment. And power of virtue came out of Jesus, and she felt in her body she was healed of her plague. For she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Her Jesus was a healing Jesus. And he was a touchable Jesus. He was a reachable Jesus. Amen? And she knew that if she could just get to him, she'd get what she needed. She came with expectancy. She came with faith. And she acted on it. See, because she heard of Jesus. That's fact. That's what it says in Mark 5th chapter. It says a certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years. And it said she'd been to many physicians and spent all that she had was none the better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched the hem of his garment. She came up behind him. She didn't meet him. She, in her weakened condition, issue of blood 12 years, weakened condition, came behind the press, pressed through the people, getting to Jesus, just come up behind, overtook him, the crowd, and everybody. And there's a lot of people there. In fact, Jesus turned and said, who touched me? His disciples said, Lord, who touched you? The multitude throngs you. In other words, there's no way we'd ever know who touched you, Jesus. Everybody's touching you. Somebody touched him in faith, though. That's a different kind of touch. You touch Jesus in faith, it's a different kind of touch. A lot of people rub up against Jesus and don't really get anything. But I'll tell you what, if you come in faith, virtue or power will come out of him and healing will come into your body. If you come with expectancy, see, you can come to church and not get anything. Be right in the middle of the presence of God. And the power and the presence of the Lord is here to meet every need in your life. But if you don't come with faith, it won't get in you. I often get tickled. People say, well, I don't know about all that. I'm a little concerned. If I go to that church, something's going to happen to me. Don't you worry. And nothing going to happen to you unless you believe. You can come in here and sit in here like a knot on the log for a year, 2 years, 10 years, and nothing will ever happen to you. You have got to believe for anything to happen to you. Are you out there? But she came with faith, see. She heard, and she must have heard right. She must have heard he was a healer. See the point? The Jesus she heard about. I just don't want to sound competitive, and I don't want you to take this wrong. We are pro-church. I love churches. I thank God for Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. Don't ever think that we're calling to question the integrity of any ministry or calling into question the sincerity of any church. If you're out watching this by TV and you're a Baptist or a Methodist and maybe you hadn't heard anything like this, and if you love Jesus, I believe that. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven. Thank God. Thank God you believe that. But I also believe this. We often don't hear about his healing power in a lot of churches. The Jesus we hear about, really, if this woman heard about the Jesus in some churches, she could get saved. Thank God she'd get saved. Thank God she'd go to heaven, but she wouldn't get healed. Because she wouldn't hear about a Jesus that heals in a lot of churches. Are you with me? And I say that with the utmost respect. If anybody that preaches Jesus, praise God, our brother and sister in the Lord, in some great churches full of people love God going to heaven. And I think it's a sad state that the Jesus of the Bible did so much more than just forgive our sins. As I said earlier, he's an all-service Jesus. I mean, he heals diseases. He's still healing today. He's never stopped healing. But you got to hear that. This Jesus of the Bible, you got to hear this Jesus as a healer before you never come to him to get healed. And because we haven't heralded it, because we hadn't declared it, because we hadn't decreed it, all we have, we believe that here, I'm just saying it, not as a whole, we haven't done that. We've kind of compartmentalized things and say, well, the most important thing is to go to heaven. Well, goodness, there's no comparison to heaven. Of course, going to heaven is more important than getting healed. But see, God didn't tell you to make that choice. He didn't say either or. He says you could have it all. Jesus didn't come just to forgive sins. He healed diseases the whole time he was down here and sent his disciples out to do the same and told us as the church to do the same. God forbid we cut that out of the equation. I tell you, this woman wouldn't have got healed in some churches with Jesus being preached in those churches, because the Jesus being preached there wasn't a healing Jesus. Or he was at one time, but doesn't anymore. Listen, I want people walking in this door to know they can come in this door and get what they need. That this Jesus will meet every need in their life. That this Jesus we preach is a Bible Jesus. He's a miracle-working Jesus. He's a healing Jesus. He'll get your marriage straight. He'll get your head straight. I'm telling you, if you will trust Him, if you'll put your faith in Him, God's Word tells us that God will meet your need through this Jesus. In fact, turn back over to Luke 5. Notice this. Woo! I'm stirred up tonight. Luke 5th chapter. I read there that 15th verse. Let's just read on a little further. It says, however, the report, 15th verse, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed, because he was so surrounded with so many people, he had to get off and just get a break. 17th verse. Now it happened that on a certain day he was teaching. Everybody say teaching. Okay. That there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now the sad part is, they didn't all get healed. But the power of the Lord was present to heal them. There's a lot of Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees came just to mock him. They didn't get anything. No record of them ever getting a miracle. But you can write it down, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Woo! And that, it talks about the paralytic that was let down through the roof, and he got his miracle. Because he was determined to get to Jesus. He had friends that carried him for the intent and purpose of getting healed. Hallelujah. And obviously he got healed. He had heard. He'd heard he was a healer. And he came to get his healing. Made all the difference in the world, what you hear. And it makes all the difference in the world what you do with what you hear. Amen? That you act on what you hear. See, teaching is paramount. You've got to have teaching. But teaching is not an end. Teaching is like a map. Teaching tells you what to do. Teaching is a beginning. And the end of teaching, the end of the word, is for you to be healed or to be delivered or to be set free. In fact, Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. So if the word should have healing in it, y'all getting this? If it doesn't have healing in it, then it's, you're not getting everything he said. We're not preaching everything he said. Because he sent his word to heal them. And Jesus healed the sick. Matthew 8, chapter 17 to 18 verse says, and he did this to fulfill that which was written by Isaiah. He took our infirmities and our sicknesses. So Jesus came for the intent and purpose. Jesus is the Word. He came for the intent and purpose to heal us. The Word of God is the Word of healing. The Jesus of the Bible is the Jesus of healing. Jesus' ministry was a ministry of healing. In fact, if you break it down three parts, he taught, he preached, he healed. If you take out healing, you've got two-thirds of the ministry. That's why often our type churches are called full gospel church. That's where the term came from, really, because we believe in the full gospel, meaning everything that Jesus did. And that term, we take that term proudly because we believe in fully preaching Christ. In fact, let me close out with that. This helping anybody? Stirring me up. I just love the Word. Don't you love just get down and get in the Word? And in Romans 15th chapter. Notice Paul speaking here. This is really good. Oh, man. I just have to quit this. I'm going to have to quit with this one. They're starting to stack up. I got scriptures. This is just the way God deals with me. I'll say something, and all of a sudden the scriptures just start backing up. So really, I never really get through. I hope you understand that. We just quit and go home, start over again. Romans 15, 18th verse, Paul speaking. I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed. In word and deed. Y'all see that? To make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Let's back up. What if he didn't have any mighty signs and wonders? Then he wouldn't have fully preached Christ, would he? He'd preach Christ, but not fully. So he's saying that words and deeds is fully preaching Christ. Well, I can never do what Jesus did. Well, you sure don't mind saying what he said, do you? Why is it we think it's okay to say what he said, but it's not okay to do what he did? He's the one who told us to do what he did and to say what he said. Don't you want to be like Jesus? That's what God's doing. He's conforming us to his image to be more like Christ, to be Christ-like, to be imitators of God. As he is, so are we in this world. The Bible says all that. And so why is it that we begin to cut out a huge part of his life, really the practical side, the things he did, just cut them out completely, and all we do is just say what he said? Well, we don't need to go out and tell anybody anything. Just send out a letter. But see, Jesus is a living, breathing entity who did signs, wonders, and miracles, who didn't just teach and preach, but also healed. And if we're going to fully preach Christ, we're going to have the signs, the wonders, and miracles. You cannot represent a supernatural God without supernatural manifestation. That'd just be an impossibility. So here he says, in or through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached Christ. Woohoo! This Jesus, this Bible Jesus, this Jesus that I gave my heart to, you gave your heart to, this Jesus is a healing Jesus. And you can be healed of whatever diseases that you're fighting or combating. We could just, listen, I'm going to tell you, we could take testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of people being healed. We already heard one healing tonight already. Chris, you're. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. Because he is the Lord God, he changes not. Amen? Because we have heard and we have come to hear and to be healed.